that into the conversation this Saturday morning at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. Matt, good morning, sir. How may we help you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Very good.
So I've got a the MP rotator sprinkler heads, and I've got a smart irrigation controller for my lawn. And I'm all about saving water, and I don't think that smart irrigation controller is very smart. So it actually has my lawn being watered every day, except for the day that I tell it not to, because that's when I mow. So is that thing really dumb and it's just sold as a smart controller? Do I need to adjust that so it's not watering 6 days a week?
Well, couple of things. I don't know why. You certainly don't need to water turf every day. I mean, you know, the ideal situation, and the MP rotators are perfect for this, is to water for long periods of time and as least often as you can get away with it. That, you know, so getting the water down as deep in the soil profile as you can, so that those plants, including turf, will be deep rooted and be able to go longer periods between irrigations. The other thing is that you do have to water MP rotators. They're putting on low amounts of water, low volume water. You can't water them for 10 or 15 minutes typically. They've got to run for extended periods of time to put enough water on. That's how they're designed. So that's one of the things that we have to educate folks when they use those. You've got to change, you know, your 10 or 15 minute watering becomes a 30 or 40 minute or 45 minute watering with those. So I don't know what to tell you. I know there are struggles with the smart controllers trying to get them, you know, in jive with watering techniques, and it could be that you have one that's not working properly. And did you buy it at a local irrigation supply store or?
No, I got it at the SRP.
At the SRP. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you might.
And I've had it for a couple of years, and it's always done this. So do I need to, would it be better to just set the grass at a, you know, to water it more deeply and then just force it to shut off, you know, 3 or 4 days out of the week?
That may be what you have to do, is just kind of override
okay.
it. Yeah.
All right. So I got to be smarter than it is.
You need to be the smart controller.
All right. Perfect.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right. You're welcome.
You know, now, John, in my personal experience, when it comes to saving water and maintaining a lawn, I was blown away the first time I core aerated my yard and saw how much less water it took to make it look good.
Absolutely. The problem with core aerifying is it's not an easy machine to go get and bring home.
It's sure not.
So that
you need to go in with your neighbor and a couple guys on the block, rent a little trailer with a ramp, because that's a heavy, big, fairly cumbersome piece of equipment.
Yep.
But, boy, if you go through the effort of core aerating, I want to say, you know, and I'll do it about every 3 years, 4 years now. When I do it, I can almost use half the water and have the lawn look just as good.
Well, that wouldn't shock me. And, you know, there isn't a golf course in the world that doesn't core aerify at least once a year. And in some cases, certain parts of their course, they do it multiple times a year. It's that effective. It's that worth doing. So, yeah, if you can figure out how to get the machine home, and let me just say this. The little things you strap on the bottom of your shoes when you're mowing your lawn.
I was just wondering about those.
You're wasting your money unless you want to use them for ice shoes or something, you know, to help better traction if we ever get a really cold snap and we have frozen sidewalks around here, and they might help you with that. But they don't work. That's not removing a cost. Just and there is some validity to actually just, you know, depressing a hole and doing a solid tine hole, but really core aerification, where you're actually driving a hollow spike into the ground and removing a core of soil, is the most effective thing to do.
And it's a good idea to water heavy the day before. Getting out there on a hard, compacted the top.
You'd have a buck and bronco all over the place. It's not good. And that's why that machine is so heavy. That's why it's so cumbersome. It's got to be heavy to drive those spikes down into the ground. But yes, you do need to do it on fairly moist soil. You don't want it muddy wet, but fairly moist soil. And there again, boy, make sure you mark sprinkler heads and cable lines and all kinds of things that might be shallowly buried, because they will destroy those in a hurry.
And there's even some I've seen, they have a plastic container on the top that you can fill water to make it even heavier.
Oh, you can do that. I've seen guys take cinder blocks and wire them to, or dumbbell or dumbbell weights off their dumbbell. Since most people aren't using their dumbbells anymore or their weights anymore anyway, they're usually gathering dust in the garage. So you can strap them on there, and that'll weight you down some too, you bet.
We talked about pre-emergent in the last segment, and Texter says they have used a product called Weed Stop for 20-plus years, and it worked great until the last 2 years. It doesn't work like it used to. And he wanted to know, did they change the formula or what's going on? I've seen sometimes you just have to change up what you're using sometimes. It seems like these plants can kind of adapt after a certain time.
Well, yeah, that's a possibility. And then when you have periods of really wet winters like we had this last winter, your length of effectiveness on a pre-emergent will get shortened by that, because there's so much water, just shortening the length, leaching it out, that sort of thing. So you might have to do it more frequently. And it could have to do with their timing. We've had, weather changes and different things. So possibly, I'm not familiar enough with the product to know if they've changed it or not, or changed the dilution. It could be how much you're diluting it needs to change. I'm not sure. I can't speak to that.
So, change it up. Try it again. You can't, or maybe you can. Can you over pre-emerge?
Well, yeah, you can. Sure. Number one, you can waste money, by just doing it more often than it needs to be done. Number two, it's never a good idea to use more of anything than is directed.
That's opposite than you were taught, Romy.
hey.
So just from a responsible, you are putting a chemical on the soil. So we want to make sure you could build up a toxicity, I'm sure, if you had too much of certain things in the soil. So be careful of that.
And if you changed your mind and wanted to plant something there eventually, then you'd want to not overdo it.
Well, it would inhibit anything from seed coming up. Typically, it doesn't affect anything that's you're planting, a plant of. But certainly, you got to take that into account. What am I going to be doing in that place 3 or 4 months down the road?
Now, I did not catch the caller's name.
Zach from Phoenix has a question.
Mr. Zach. Thank you, Gary. Bring him on in.
Hey, this is Zach from Phoenix.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I have a question. First of all, I want to say thanks for all you guys do, and sorry you're missing your rodeo. But I have a question about irrigation lines, the buried underground black tubing that goes to, like, drip or bubbler systems.
Okay.
I have it, and it's developing leaks all the time. So is it possible to replace that with a more rigid, substantial PVC? And is there, like, a connectors that'll connect to the same spaghetti lines and then connect into that, existing black tubing?
Well, there's a couple things you can do, and we're seeing a lot of this. A lot of the old poly black drip tubing is now 15, 20, 25, 30 years old, and it's wearing out. And so there are a couple of options. You can just replace it, just run new tubing throughout your yard with the same stuff, and you'll get another 15 to 25 years out of it. You can replace it with PVC, which is harder to do and more expensive. And there are risers, and then there's a port that goes on the riser, and you run your quarter-inch tubing off of that port to your plants. And that's a great way to do it. It's certainly more permanent. But it's expensive and harder. It takes more work to do trenching and, you know, gluing fittings and that sort of thing. And there is another product out there. I just did this. My brother Jerry, who's a sprinkler contractor, did this for me when I did my front yard. And there is a thicker-walled, flexible tubing that's black, just like drip tubing, but it's thicker-walled, and it's, you know, you can't quite do it the same. You have to do the ports like you do with PVC on the ends of them, and then run your quarter tube, and you can't punch a hole in it. Like we did with the old polyethylene stuff. So there's three options for you. Just duplicate what you have now, which is the easiest and simplest to do. Go to PVC, which is the most permanent but the hardest to do and most expensive, or check out the thicker-walled drip. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of that product. But if you go to a like Sprinkler World or someplace like that, they could direct you to that product.
And I did the same thing, Zach. I put in the drip line, and you'd mentioned for our orchard mechanically mowing. And one reason that it has limited effect, Jay, is you've got five different individual spaghetti lines all spread around, so you can only get the back of that bush hog so close before you're ripping up sprinkler lines. And you, no matter how careful I am, I always have to go back and repair one or two here. And the rabbits, they love to chew up that black plastic. I mean, I chase leaks constantly, and I thought, all right, one day, this is on my one day list. My one day list is pretty long, but one day we're gonna retrench everything, put PVC back in, and do a bubbler on each side. That way I can sweep the bush hog underneath and just know all of my drip lines are right here in this perfect row.
If you're running
on this side and that side,
if you're running drip in a turf situation, that's just not a good salute. You know, it's got all kinds of problems. You hit the nail on the head. You need PVC and a bubbler like we did in the old days, so that you're not running into all those little, you know, that quarter inch tubing just, you know, and weed eaters or string trimmers are not very compatible.
No, that's a good word for it. I'd mentioned my problem with ragweed, and a couple people asked for pre-emergent, and I will tell you one thing that has worked very well for killing the foliage of the ragweed is Bonide's Burnout. It's a citric acid and clove oil. It's all organic, and that's the only thing we'll put in the orchard because we don't want to use glyphosate, which is what your ingredient Roundup is. And there's, I mean, you could read just as many reports that say it's not harmful as there are reports that say it is. So we just took it out of the equation and don't use it in the orchard. But it kills the foliage. But I've noticed we have to keep applying it because it doesn't kill the root. Now, eventually, I think we kill the foliage enough, the root will die off. But I mean, that'll brown up a weed in less than an hour. It's good stuff, and it's an organic. And it's funny, you can tell you smell it for like 3 days afterwards. That clove aroma has a very prominent aroma. But it's pricey. So it goes back to what you're saying. Get them early.
And if you're keeping those bunnies out of that area too, you can use that Bonide Repels All. So quit eating your tubing, and kill your weeds, and you're getting on the way.
Yeah, you know, when you get past an acre size of an orchard, there's a lot of finding that in a large enough volume becomes the challenge.
Somebody posted that on Facebook that they, Orbit thing you hook up to the hose, and it, you know, that when they break the beam, it shoots a stream of water. Those are on sale on Amazon, apparently. So if you got a lot of rabbits,
sprinklers, yes.
You can actually, it's pretty entertaining to watch.
I have used those for a while, but like all things plastic in the desert, they break down into, and you can daisy chain them, and to have enough to go around the entire orchard, and you're over $1,000 now.
You know,
if you're looking for a small area, they do work great.
A pretty good rabbit repellent that also acts as a fertilizer is blood meal. You just scatter some blood
cheap.
Meal.
And that's cheap. I never thought of that.
It's relatively inexpensive, provided you don't have dogs in the same area, because it attracts. It does just the opposite for dogs, and they'll dig it up, and yeah, so
roll in it.
Yeah. So if you've got a place where you can kind of keep, you know, the away from the dogs, blood meal is a great rabbit repellent.